أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. الحمد لله، we've reached this mubarak 23rd night of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq to do the things that He loves in these nights and avoid those things that He hates, and to not screw it up because of our own nufus now that shaitan is largely clocked out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. So we continue reading about the campaign of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum in Iraq under the reign of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we got to a point where the commander Abu Ubaid stopped his army directly across the Furat, the Euphrates River, from the Persians. And so the Persians actually built a pontoon bridge to cross it. So the battle of the Jisr, of the bridge, Bahman, the Persian commander, gave the Muslims the choice between crossing the bridge or the Persians crossing over to them. Abu Ubaid decided to cross. Men of judgment and foresight advised him not to, but he refused the advice, saying the Persians cannot be more daring in the face of death than us. So the Muslims crossed over and a severe battle ensued. The Persians had many elephants in their army, which terrified the Muslim horses, and the battle turned against them. Abu Ubaid ordered, "Trap the elephants and cut off their girths and throw their riders off." Saying this, Abu Ubaid went to jump onto a white elephant to go about what he had just commanded, but the elephant struck him with his front foot and he fell to the ground and was trampled to death. Rahimahullah ta'ala wa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His second in command went to take the flag from him, fighting to defend himself until he was able to take the flag. He was then killed. Seven people from the tribe of Thaqif took the flag and were killed one after the other. Muthanna then took it. He saw the battle had turned against the Muslims and that some of them were defeated and that the bridge had been cut off. One of the Muslims had cut it off so that they did not flee, but this did not stop them. Instead, they jumped into the Euphrates and some drowned while others managed to save themselves. Muthanna called out to those who had crossed over to retie the bridge. Then he ordered the Muslims to cross, saying to them, "Cross over calmly because we are behind you. Do not get agitated and end up drowning yourselves." He remained behind until they had all crossed and then crossed at their rear. And so it's important to note that the advice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to his commanders that he gave before sending them from Medina was to deliberate and to think about things and not to be impetuous, but when an opportunity comes to go across it. Perhaps in retrospect, in hindsight, is 20/20. Allah is witness that I don't say this in any way to, you know, object to anything that any of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum did. Their mistakes are more beloved to Allah ta'ala than our wise advices are. But perhaps in retrospect, seeing some things that were not visible immediately, it was not the best idea to take the army across the bridge and put the Muslims at a disadvantage, nor was the bravado of doing something like cutting the bridge behind them. Now, this is, again, I don't say this to say anything bad about any of them, because, again, Allah knows that their efforts and their sacrifices for deen were accepted by Allah Ta'ala, therefore they're always going to be more successful than those that come afterward. But it's okay to also learn a lesson. And it's also okay to praise the calmness of the commander Muthanna, who had the good sense to cast the bravado aside and order that the bridge be reattached, and to order the troops to calmly retreat rather than to cause more pandemonium and chaos and cause the bridge to break or people to fall off the bridge because of the ruckus in a hasty and uncoordinated and uncontrolled retreat. And on top of all of that, we have to admire the bravery of him that he waited for all of his men to go across before going across himself, which is really a noble and praiseworthy act on his part. And people who do things like this, this is a sign that they're worthy of rank and of honor and of leadership. The last to be killed on the bridge was Salit bin Qais. Allah Ta'ala accept all of their shahadat. About 4,000 Muslims died in this episode, either in battle or by drowning. Many of those who crossed over left Muthanna out of shame that they were put to flight and that he was left injured with a small number of his men. Allah Ta'ala prevented Bahman from crossing the bridge in pursuit of the Muslims because of the news he received from back home that differences had arisen amongst the Persians, separating them into two groups, those who supported Rustam, who was kind of like the prime minister in charge of the throne, while the royal house was struggling to pick a new emperor, and those that supported the bid of Firuzan. Bahman then gave up his intention of pursuing the Muslims. When the news of the defeat and the news that many of the people had scattered out of shame reached Umar, radiallahu anhu, he said, "O Allah, every Muslim is free from obligation to me, and I am the support of every Muslim. May Allah show mercy on Abu Ubaid. Had he come to me, I would have supported him." This is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's way of not heaping blame on them for the loss, rather showing that they were all together. Now, if you'll remember, in one of the previous majalis, we were talking about the advices that were given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, which is like keep trying your best and don't be overwhelmed. If you suffer a setback, then you know, as soon as you're able to, get up and start trying again. This is the culture that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cultivated amongst the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. It's not this kind of bravado of jahiliyyah where you kind of your mouth over promises things, and then when you get knocked on your backside or when something afflicts you, you then give up and then you like kind of go hide your face out of shame and like just kind of give up. It's not a good thing. People feel like doing that from time to time. It's a very human reaction to things, at least for some people. But we shouldn't be that way as Muslims. If it's difficult, if you're defeated, if you're injured, if, you know, internally, externally, in your body, in your heart, in your emotions, whatever it is, you know, as long as you're down, you're down. And then once you get better and you get back up on your feet, don't be overwhelmed by circumstances. Keep going and try again. This is a really important quality in people. And this is what the quality is amongst people who are successful. And Allah Ta'ala loves this quality amongst people. And that's something to note and something to keep in mind. And it's in line with the words that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was purported to have uttered after having heard of this loss. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then did help Muthanna by sending many armies out to him. Amongst them were Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali and his people, and Isma bin Abdullah al-Dhabbi and his people. He asked the former apostates who had repented sincerely to go out in battle, and every time someone from amongst them came to him, he would send him to Muthanna. So he was augmenting his army with those people who had sincerely repented from their wrongs. And that's how big their hearts were, that they were able to accept the repentance and trust them, and how big the hearts of the people who repented was that they also went out sincerely and strove in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give all of us sinners the tawfiq to redeem ourselves in the eyes of Allah ta'ala for our time that we wasted and opportunities that we wasted, and still go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and still fight and still try again, even though our circumstances around us seem and look like they're hopeless, but they're not hopeless at all. You have Allah Ta'ala with you. Hopelessness is only for a kafir. Hopelessness is the house that a kafir lives in. Hopelessness is his prison in this world and the hereafter. Even when he's enjoying himself, he's still hopeless because he knows the very earth that he fought on in order to dominate, the very land that he stands on, that the Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to come over that very land. And he's going to be buried in that very land. and he hopes the Qiyamah doesn't come because it's not going to have anything good for him. But then the best thing he has to hope for is death. Hopelessness and despair is only for those people. For the person who believes in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he made mistakes, even if he screwed up, even if he wasn't good at what he did, there's nothing but hope, and there's nothing but encouragement, and there's nothing but solace, and there's nothing but happiness and a bright future for such a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us from this hope, and give the people of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this hope as well, despite whatever images we see on TV and whatnot. Yes, this is important to not just talk about the hope and then sit on your backside the whole time. We have to do something also to help our brothers and sisters. However, just because you haven't been perfect with that help up until this point doesn't mean that you abscond and run away, or that you censure yourself for thinking about them, or that you at least don't cherish and keep inside of your heart this fond hope that Allah Ta'ala will show you a way, and that you ask Him to show you a way in order to do something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives from His fadl to those who ask. As for Rustam and Firuzan, who were disputing with one another over the leadership of the Persians, when they heard of what Umar was doing, radiallahu anhu, they dispatched an army under Mihran al-Farisi to Hira. Muthanna then wrote to Jarir, Isma, and their soldiers, telling them to meet him at the place called Buwayb, which is next to the present-day Kufa. Muthanna proceeded till he met them at Buwayb. They faced the armies of Mihran with the Euphrates River between them. Muthanna decided to let the Persians cross over to the Muslims, for a Muslim does not fall into the same trap twice. He conveyed to the Persians that they should cross over, and they did. In the meantime, Muthanna straightened his battle lines and started to encourage and advise the Muslims, saying to them, "I hope that you are not defeated today because of your strength. By Allah, truly whatever pleases me for myself is precisely what I desire for each of you." He displayed the utmost sincerity and integrity to the people with his words and actions, and remained with them in both ease and hardship. After this, he said, "I am going to cry Allahu Akbar 3 times. When I say it the 4th time, you must attack." When he shouted Allahu Akbar the 1st time, the Persians rushed toward them. Muthanna saw a gap in the battle lines of Banu Ijl and sent a message to them saying, "The commander conveys peace to you and says to you, do not disgrace the Muslims today." They straightened their battle lines, and Muthanna laughed in happiness at their obedience. The battle got going. Muthanna attacked the heart of the polytheists exactly where Mihran, their commander, was. The two flanks did battle against each other. Neither of the flanks was able to achieve victory for its commander, neither the Muslims nor the Persians. But the central division of the Muslim army overpowered the heart of the polytheist camp, devastating it and slaying Mihran. When the two flanks of the Muslim army saw this, they advanced toward those who were before them, forcing the Persians to turn back on their heels. Completely routed, they struggled with one another to get over the bridge, but Muthanna reached it before them and barred them from crossing, so they scattered, climbing and falling. Muthanna used to count this a mistake, saying, "You shouldn't corner a person who's unable to defend himself." And so that's his honor as well, that he felt bad about it, that they routed them so completely that he felt like it was almost an unfair advantage. Muthanna then dispatched a squadron to pursue the Persians, which reached Sabat, a place in Mada'in, and conquered it. After this, the path for the Muslims between Hira to the banks of the Tigris became safe and secure. Khanafis and Suq Baghdad. Muthanna then proceeded in the direction of Khanafis near Ambar and Suq Baghdad after appointing Bashir bin Khasasiyah over Hira. He attacked both these places and continued until he stopped at the Salihin River in Ambar. He then dispatched a squadron to fight with a group of Arabs in Siffin, a place to the northwest of the Euphrates, now part of the district of Halab. The squadron duly defeated the Arabs there. With this victory, the countryside of Iraq all came under the control of the Muslims, who took jizya from the non-Muslims and received the proceeds from the lands that they had conquered. The Persians had no authority whatsoever west of the Euphrates. Moreover, their authority over the Gulf lands weakened. The areas that are in the eastern part of the Arabian Peninsula, because they were clients of the Persians. Moreover, the authority of their authority over the Gulf lands weakened, as the masses were greatly affected by this and saw that their kingdom was starting to wane. They realized that their fall was imminent if they did not remedy the situation and strive firstly to resolve internal conflicts which had almost got the better of them. So inshallah, with this, we will inshallah stop, and we will then talk tomorrow about the Battle of Qadisiyah, which is the kind of decisive battle that gave the Muslims the upper hand and the advantage over the Persians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of those who followed their way in ihsan until the day of judgment, and make us amongst the ones that love those people, and make us the ones that are the first to support those people in our words and in our deeds, and make us into those people by his fadl. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasulihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.